B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so coming off that conversation with Bert, all that money for Cam Newton.
It's too much right now.
I know it makes you uneasy.
It's two games. What if he has a pick six the other night? He threw that one pick. The other one should have been pick two. Kid made a good play on it, telegraphed it. What's the narrative if they lose by 14? Still paying him? See, I think you got the flex of that time around the bye to give you a couple more games against good opponents. Raiders are 2-0. If the Chiefs win this weekend and you play them, guess what? Everybody in the month of September is undefeated when you play them. That helps Cam at the bye. Let me talk at the bye. Right now, give me a little more time.
Right, so I heard what Bert said in that if you wait too long, and I said, what's the difference between now and 6 weeks? He said, if you wait 6 weeks and the team plays extremely well, he might just say, well, I've only got.
No, I think he would respect it and like that. Now, if you wait till the end of the year, remember when the Mayo deal got done and Walker was pissed off? And I think that was after Thanksgiving. It was closer to Christmas. It was a December extension. Like, you extend someone else there and you don't talk to Cannon, and then that's a problem. But I think you get around the bye around week five. Like, we haven't had preseason. We need to catch up. Four games of tape under us. We're with you every day now. We see the effort you put in.
My question would be, is he any less motivated after four games to do the deal than he would be after two?
I think he'd be the same.
As would I.
Yeah, so just wait.
And I feel better.
There's a lot of this stuff. I mean, I think it's real, real overreaction now after two games.
It's an overreaction.
Pump the brakes. But it's real.
How much could the price go up in two games, Hardy?
No.
Is it going to go up or down? The longer you wait in the season, is it going to go up or down? Almost regardless of how he plays, do you think he's going to fall off a cliff and just look terrible?
No.
So it's just going to keep going up. The closer you get to the end of the year,
aren't you slotted anyway?
Without a plan in place for next year, the more the price goes up.
You're slotted anyway. You're not getting Dak. You're not getting Deshaun Watson, and you're not getting Mahomes. Money.
What's your best plan for next year? Right now, who's your best plan at quarterback?
It'd be great if he played well and he stayed.
Okay, so your best plan right now
of guys you could talk to and know they're capable.
Aaron Rodgers is up.
Well, he's not up. He would need to get cut, I believe.
Right.
But it's been talked about. That name has been mentioned.
What if
I'm talking about right now in terms of guys you can actually talk to?
Right now.
Right now, there's only one answer. It's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
So who else could there be?
Start the talk.
Stuff happens.
And it doesn't have to be an offer to blow him out of the water.
Starts to create a distraction.
He is Bill your best option at quarterback for next year.
Even if Bill knows that.
Look, mess around with kickers all you want. Don't have any real receivers other than Julian Edelman. Go ahead without, great options at tight end for a couple few years in a row. You can't mess around with a quarterback. Who's your quarterback next year? Who's your quarterback next year?
Okay, what about, so if it's a 3 years on top of this.
What was his option when Brady was leaving? When you knew Tom was gone. Tom said, I'm leaving. Like, what was your option then?
All right. If there's going to be a Cam
Stidham. Newton. Stidham was going to be the next best thing, right? That's what we were told.
It was Stidham. And then if, you know.
Well, you picked Brian Hoyer up.
Okay. Those are your two other options.
Yeah.
You can go with one of those.
Yeah.
Good luck. I'll start talking to Cam this week. Okay. If it's me. I'll start the conversations right now.
Okay.
If they haven't already.
Do you want Cam thinking about money during the season,
though?
No. That's the hard part. It's like he's playing motivated with this thing. He called it when Bob Sosi asked him that question about junior college. Remember that? And he said, this is sort of like junior college for me. Meaning he went to Florida, right? Then had to go to junior college to get his next shot at something big. This is what he's treating this year as.
So he's still thinking about money, whether he's thinking about all the money he's going to make if he plays well, or if he's thinking about money in a contract negotiation.
Once he gets it, doesn't he ease up a little bit?
Yeah, he'll stop trying. No,
ease up a little bit.
I don't think so. I don't think he's that type of player.
So if you move some of that money into this year, let's say it's $25 million. You're going to pay him $400,000? which is maybe. Three, right?
I mean, maybe.
If wait, so what's the total deal then?
Four and 100, including this year. So it's like a 3-year extension for $75 million.
I'm not going to pay him anything. The Patriots are going to have to pay a quarterback.
I know that, obviously. But if you're the GM, so uncomfortable with it.
I don't know.
He's so uncomfortable.
You don't know what to do?
It's not that it's not that $30 million mark.
It's the Jimmy G deal. They just front-loaded a whole bunch of money, and now he's not making as much, right?
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know.
They put like 27 or they put like 37 on the cap the first year of Jimmy G's deal.
Sure. So you could do that with this deal. I'm just saying over the course of the deal, the money, it's $100 million, it's 4 years, and, you know, half of it's guaranteed.
Cam can sell it as 3 for $100 extension, and you can sell it as you're only paying him 3 for $70 going forward.
Bingo. Yeah, you got to sort of maneuver the money there to make it look like it's, you know.
What fans think if you wouldn't go to the table and just even talk to Brady about it, but yet you would give Cam a 3-year, $100 million extension.
Cam is significantly younger.
Would break Brady's balls over 2 for $50.
Brady's right. I mean, I understand that. I get. I mean,
We played the game. Do you want to motivate Tom Brady or do you want Cam? Which one would you flip from? We did this yesterday.
Yeah. Well, right now I'd want Cam.
Yeah. You guys both said that Cam's better for this team, so you can't argue
for this season.
For this season. Right.
Okay. For this team.
No, I don't know about this team. This season.
This group of players. This personnel.
That group of players needs to get better.
That
group needs to be better. But in theory, the group gets better. Cam is still going to be a great quarterback for your team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a better quarterback right now than Tom Brady.
So you're paying him more than
Tom
Brady.
That sucks to hear. It sucks to admit. I love Tom Brady, but that's the truth through 2 weeks.
The longer you wait, the closer you're going to have to get to that number or go beyond it. I don't know what you're waiting for.
But I would have the same. Here's the thing. I'd have the same concerns about Brady in 2 or 3 years that I would have about Cam Newton for different reasons. But Cam's Newton. Cam's Newton. Cam is younger, and there's more upside. I think there's less concern over time. There's an injury concern there because of the way the guy plays. He's, you know, fearless out there.
Low Peloton score.
I worry about that.
That to the negotiating table.
Yep.
Say, you know, if this score were a little higher, maybe we'd be inclined to give you more money.
With that low Peloton score, now we got to give you Tannehill-type numbers.
That's right.
Brian, by the way, writes in, Beetle, love the show. Listen all the time from Pennsylvania. Jake has been way off on his Peloton takes. There's more to just an output number. I run regularly and use the bike to loosen up my legs and my feet, and it works great for that. These types of rides will not produce a high number. It's a recovery ride. Also, he said something about Linda's account a while back. You can log into your account from anywhere. There's a Peloton bike, like a hotel. And that means you could lend someone your login information. It doesn't mean the ride was necessarily in your home. Which, again, there's that one suspect score on her account. Wondering who it was that was riding the bike. He says, keep up the great work, boys. It's from Brian. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks. Brian has a Peloton for a warm-up bike, huh?
Yeah, Peloton's warm-up. That's just recovery, getting loose. Then he goes for a run.
Zoe uses his Peloton bike.
I'm not giving you my name.
He lays his clothes out on the seat of the Peloton so they warm up
after
he takes them out of that cold closet.
It's in the basement in the weight room.
We need Jake to get on Zoe's scores.
Nope. He ain't getting
it. Yes, he needs to investigate Zoe's scores.
Good luck, pal.
He said it's public, right?
You have to hide your name.
Did you hide your name?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's me.
Elvira
7. Z16.
Yeah. Third deep.
Alex on the Cape. Alex.
Hey, Beetle, I think you're completely right as far as the performance and age goes and factoring Newton versus Brady. And I really hope whether if it comes sooner or rather later, Cam keeps up the performance and keeps it up against better teams and remains healthy and keeps going. I do think he's the most viable option maybe for the future because there's nothing I see on the horizon. But the big thing for me, a couple of things, and it really has to do with interest in Brady versus Newton. And to me, I think I'm kind of a crazy wacko sports fan who kind of likes the drama and like the unknown. And I think for many years, and I kind of lost interest in the Patriots with Brady, was like a sure factor. Like he always had that feeling of like, you know what, no matter what, they're they're going to go far. They can go far. They're a dynasty, and to me, that is less interesting than the unknown factor of Cam Newton and how he performs and how far they can go, because I really don't know where that ceiling is. The second thing is the personality between the two characters. Brady is somewhat, he seems a little bit corporate now. He's got the TB12. He seems a little robotic. He kind of seems further away from me than the almost cartoonish style of Cam Newton. And even though he has that cartoonish style, he...
Okay, we're all over the place there, Alex, but thank you. Sure, yeah. Is it easier to identify with Cam Newton and Tom Brady? Yeah, I could see that. Sure, as a fan. Tom Brady, very, very buttoned up, very corporate. Cam Newton, very passionate about the game in the way that, you know, we all are.
Nice thing is he said he buys entire staff new clothes, too. He'd dress everybody up if he had some certain incentives in his game. He was talking about extensions. He goes, well, I do have extensions built in. So, you know, bonuses built in. And if I do hit him, I might just dress up the whole staff.
Oh.
Said he's going to do that. So can you imagine Bill in one of those yellow suits with a hat?
Well, Cam could have... helped Bill today, for sure.
I kind of like that. Bill got me ready for Halloween. It's like, that's one of those crazy people in the nut house. Yeah.
Does Cam talk? When does Cam talk now? When is his next availability?
Friday?
Wednesdays or Thursdays? He's been speaking in the afternoon on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
He's later in the day. I think someone should ask him about Bill's hoodie and if he could offer some fashion advice to Bill. Because
he'll take that bait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cam went with the low-key dress during the post-game presser, huh? He had the hat, but he had, like, the sweats on, right?
And he had a long trip, Jim.
Let me tell you something about Bill. I think Cam Newton would support it. You want to know why? It is a distinct style.
Yes.
It's not a cutout, not a carbon copy. You know what? First rule of style. I'm making this up as I go. Make it your own, huh? Sounds like a thing.
Yeah.
That's Bill's style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet on some level Cam respects it. It's not his style. Is it distinctly Bill?
Everybody has a certain style.
It is.
Like my kid came downstairs last night. He got dressed for bed, brushed his teeth, came down, had an outfit on, looked like it was from third grade. T-shirt, half cut, sweatpants. Like,
crop top?
What are you wearing? Well, it was in my night drawer. Yeah. Take it off, throw it in the trash. We need to go shopping, huh?
It's a style.
Baby Huey.
You're messing with his style.
Hey, and he looked like, oh, I don't know what he was doing. Like one of them ballerinas. Get it off now. Get you some real clothes. Come on.
Okay, we're getting ready for the Celtics game tonight. That's game four. The
Let's
NBA.
Go.
The NBA has some plans for how they're going to start their next season. The season's almost over. We're in the conference finals, then you get the finals.
That's a good point.
They got to figure out when they're going to start playing basketball again.
Are they going to be in a bubble again?
Well, Adam Silver has talked about what next season might look like in the NBA. We'll mix that into the conversation. And, of course, the phone lines are always open for you. You're on Zolak and Burke.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My best guess is that even though, as you said, it'll be the 2021 season, that season won't start until 21. We said a week ago or so that the earliest we would start is Christmas of this year, but the more I'm learning, even listening to Dr. Fauci this morning, I continue to believe that we're going to be better off getting into January. The goal for us next season is to play a standard season, your other part of your question, 82-game season and playoffs. And further, the goal would be to play games in home arenas in front of fans.
Did
That's Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, a guest on CNN with Bob Costas. You heard him there. They don't want to start December 1st because of listening to Dr. Fauci, and now they're going to push that off in January. 82-game season, playoffs, and a further goal would be putting fans in the buildings. Except there's still a lot for them to learn. I would have a follow-up for him there.
What?
When's your season going to end? Full 82-game season. Are you ever going to get back on track? Are you going to have an NBA Finals that is in the dead summer months when people are really sort of tuned out on sports?
I'd say July would be bad for you.
You know, July June is like the latest you can go before people just stop sort of, you know, passionately tuning into sports.
Beginning of June.
Well, I think there's a reason why the NBA and NHL is done by June, because you don't want to push it into July.
Well, we're conditioned. That's break point there. We're conditioned as humans to watch that. And for all those deep runs, those teams will be on, they're done by the middle of June.
Do you know what the other part of that is?
What?
The Olympics are now next summer.
Yeah.
And so, I don't care about the Olympics.
Summer. Where's it at? It's not here.
No, it's in Tokyo.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it was supposed to happen this summer, but
yeah.
COVID. That's been pushed back. So if the NBA's playing, now you don't have whatever players are unavailable. It'll be playoff time.
Right, right,
right. By the time the Olympics roll around, it would be late playoff time. So I don't think there would be too many guys that are impacted.
Oh,
but if you
God, what are we going to do about USA basketball?
You know who typically plays? Listen, I don't care about it. You don't care about it.
Right.
I think some players care about it.
They do. It's like it's a nice little thing for them.
So I'm curious to know if they have any thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Because, Zoe, say what you want about the Olympics and how we don't give a damn. We watch the NBA, which is the best basketball product on the planet.
I get it. But look at
Do you know why the players sort of like it? It's an international stage, and you can't deny that.
No, you can't.
Now, the NBA is a very international game, and it's, you know, there are fans across the globe for this sport. But when you play in the Olympics, I think that's just a profile thing. And
dude,
sort
they
of
cared.
A,
they cared in
it's
the 90s.
It's a bit of a vanity thing.
They cared in the 90s. Look at the Jordan documentary.
Dream team, of course.
Jordan documentary. Was Isaiah playing? No. Okay, then I'm in. Like, yeah, that matters to those guys.
So I just have some questions. I have some questions about this. Does this now mean this is what your new season's going to be? How do you play a full year?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
And then when do you pick it back up again? Do you just have a shortened off season there?
He wants fans, too. He wants to do it in front of fans in their arena. So there's no bubble. There's no talk of a bubble.
The bubble is dead.
Done. They do not want to go back to the bubble.
This is going to be the end of the bubble.
I bet they wouldn't play as opposed to go do another bubble again. I think they're bubbled out. Sounds like Brad's bubbled out.
I don't blame him.
Could you imagine it? Like, how about a guy? Like, even Gary Washburn had to give up everything for months, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be bubbled.
Is that it? Is that what it's called, being bubbled?
Yeah, well, being bubbleized, yeah. You can't move. You can't leave. You stay there.
That's it, bubbleized.
Does he eat the stuff they eat? Or is he on his own? Because you can't go
on out. Your own, how?
No, I'm saying, is it the same type
There's
of
gotta be
menus
food provided.
And meals? Right. Like, would the league take care of that? It's interesting. Interested in that. I'd ask Himmelsbach, but I'm blocked by him. Still.
I don't think Himmelsbach is in the bowl.
Yeah. Of course not.
Of course not. Here
Too
we
much
go.
Work.
This is the other thing.
Yeah.
Once Zoe feels like he's got someone who is on the other side and doesn't like him, it's like, then we're going to go in and just hammer that guy.
Volanize him. Let's volanize him.
Volanize him?
Yeah.
You get along with Volan.
I like Volan. Still call him Mittens. I like Ben. Ben's a nice guy. He's nice to me. Nice to him.
When's the last time you checked to see if you're still blocked by Himmelsbach?
Go right now.
Three times an hour.
35 seconds ago.
You get
right there.
Still blocked.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Now it's a problem.
Well, it's been a problem. Now I got people getting him.
I want someone to do a psychological deep dive on Zoe.
I don't know that you need to go that deep.
I want that guy eating out of my hand in 20 minutes.
I want it.
I
want a full write-up.
It'd be like that movie.
You want like the whole childhood thing.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Because he knows what he is now. So, but you want to know why?
Yeah, I want to get to the why. Okay. How this started?
All right.
How did that start?
More boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Boom.
You know what? Because I care. Because I care.
No, you've got a
and a what?
Intellectual curiosity.
Yes.
What happens to someone to turn them in to what Zoa's become?
It's a Netflix special.
It'd be an excellent one.
What's Cobra Kai come out?
When
does this third season come out? Cobra Kai.
I don't know. Jesus, you can't stop talking about it. You love it.
So I finished season one. It's so bad.
It's so bad you can't stop watching.
I stopped after season one. I have not yet felt compelled to start season two. It's not good.
You end up rooting for Johnny. I'm rooting for Johnny.
I'm not saying anything about it other than not good. Do not go in with the expectation that this is a great show. But it sucks you in. You got to know what happens. Yeah. But
it tells a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Johnny. Like Johnny's music, like Johnny's cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon's in Boston. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone calls. So I just want to know your analysis on these players because, the Patriots could possibly steal these guys and, it could be some weapons for Cam Newton. So I want to know how you guys feel about Witten. He's not getting a lot of receptions. I think he's a good guy that could come in. He's a veteran. Emmanuel Sanders. He's not being utilized correctly on the Saints at all. And then you got Randall Cobb and Kenny Stills. And how you feel about bringing LeGarrette Blount back, a big guy like that can move the chains instead of beating up Cam Newton? You can use LeGarrette Blount to move the chains. I mean, teams had a problem when LeGarrette Blount was on the field, so I want to know how you guys feel about that.
He's not playing currently, right? He's out of work.
I thought he was.
Yeah, he's not on a roster. He was with the Lions last year, right? I don't think he's currently employed.
Do you rather have Cam Newton carrying the ball or LeGarrette Blount carrying the ball?
Cam Newton 1,000 times out of 1,000. No, I have no interest in bringing back LeGarrette Blount, who's now almost 34.
Did he
34?
Say Witten at the beginning? Like Jason
Witten? I think Jason Witten.
Oh, God, no. Another broken down tight end like Gronk? No.
This week he comes in with the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
How about Kenny Stills was one?
Stills is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny Stills can play. That guy battles, man.
But why would they give him up?
Emmanuel Sanders, you're not getting him.
He just signed there. He was available. He's a free agent.
He's the one at the Saints now because Michael Thomas has a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, he wasn't used at all in that game Monday night.
I know.
Weird, right?
Something's up with him. Maybe he's just done. I don't know.
Could be. Might very well could be.
And that's West Coast offense. Same thing Schottenheimer runs. So it shouldn't be that bad for him, terminology-wise.
Blount didn't even play last year, by the way.
He didn't play at all last year either?
No.
Oh, he's
got 18 was his last
long
year with the Lions.
Gone. A little heavy.
Long gone. Who haven't we covered in that?
He's probably got the COVID-15 on him.
I do love Brandon Boston, though, because he always calls with trade ideas in every sport. He calls in the NBA, feeds us names, feeds us. It's good.
And
it's fun.
He commonly calls on guys that haven't played in a couple of years. He called about Brandon Bass a couple years ago for the Celtics as an option.
That's right.
He hadn't played in like 4 years.
He's big on that one, too. He likes the veterans.
Tom was convinced that he is Brandon Bass. Brandon from Boston is Brandon Bass.
He likes Brandon Bass.
That would explain that call alone.
I mean, Kenny Stills is the best name in there, but I don't know why they'd give him up.
Right.
So,
you're in a tough spot. Cam said it. The answer's coming from within that room.
Well, here's another thing to think about. You know what? Why don't we pick this up on the other side on Cam Newton? If they do get a contract done with Cam and there's some sort of stability beyond this season, what would that mean for the Patriots in a possible trade this season? Let's talk about that. We'll talk to the head coach of the Revs, Bruce Arena, coming up at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports.
Hi, guys. Love your show. Thanks for all you do.
The home for live.
We try to relate to the listener.
And local.
A guy in Boston.
And we do it together.
Sometimes you guys aggravate me so much I turn you up. But here I am, turning back on.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wake up.
top lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5.
Yeah, sounds good.
Hey, it's more imaging.
Can we get T-Bone back on the board already?
Yeah, Jesus.
Holy crap.
Who would have thought we would ever say that?
I've never thought I'd utter those words. But here we are.
It's like Jimmy the intern's in there. I don't know what I'm doing.
This is how the pros. Scott Zola.
Just stop it.
All right. We'll stop it then. We'll stop.
No more, Mr. Nice Guy. No more, Mr.
I love how every time you hear a song, you think of a different song. It really is remarkable.
That wasn't it?
No.
It's part of the special.
It's part of the Netflix doc.
Yes.
Music episode.
It's like word association. So show them a picture. You think, what first thing you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
expansive.
So do word association. Like, what about Bob? A car, a bar, a plane,
tar,
a train.
Right.
Just start rhyming
right.
Random words.
Anyway, what we were talking about before was Cam Newton, and let's assume that he does get a new contract for the sake of the conversation. They lock him up, and he's here for 3 more years, and you know that's now not something you even have to think about. Right. Already 2021. You know who the guy is, right? All that stability is there now.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make the Patriots more aggressive at the deadline to go after someone, whether it be a receiver or a tight end or whatever it might be, for the offense, knowing that they've got Cam? And I say aggressive in the sense that you're going after someone that either has years left on his contract,
right,
or is someone in the case of Allen Robinson, because that name's been thrown around the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson, someone you could trade for and sign to a new deal.
Yeah.
Does that change their mindset at all, I wonder? Because I don't trust them to figure this out through the draft.
They get too much right now. Like, you have so many freaking holes on defense right now, too. Like, you got to figure out something quick. You got to tweak your defense. Teams are going to look at that the other night and go, okay, we can throw it all over them. We can push them around. We can rush them. If they're going to go nickel, we're going to run it. Let's go big. You know, they got other issues to fix right now before attempting to do Cam Newton's contract. And I know it's part of it, but that is roster building. It is. It's all in one, all encompassing. Got to be able to juggle it. People are talking about bringing in receivers. You might have to bring in linebackers. One injury, you're smoked. Up front or in that second level.
Let's go back to some of your calls. We'll talk to Bruce Arena coming up. And again, Drew Bledsoe at 1 o'clock. Jamal in South Boston on Cam Newton and his contract. Hey, Jamal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Good. I was wondering, should we wait before we talk contract to after the Kansas City and the Baltimore game, since those are the two teams that beat us last season?
I don't know if it's about specific opponents, other than it might just be a bigger sample size. The bye. If there were two bad teams on the schedule between now and the bye, I think that it wouldn't make that big of a difference. But I will say this, Jamal. It doesn't hurt that when you play well against good teams. Kansas City will be a good way to
check.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Right?
Raiders are coming in undefeated.
The Raiders being good sort of helps. Or having a good first couple of weeks, playing well right now, because I'm not totally sold on how good they are. Good win for them that they just had. They're playing well right now. And if Cam stops the Raiders dead in their tracks, I mean, how do you not say, well, okay, you really, really got something here. And if you beat the Chiefs, holy smokes, then yes, back it up. Pay him everything he wants. Keep him here long term. Steve in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
Guys, how we doing? How are you? Make sure you tell Drew Bledsoe, Steve for Fall River, said hello, and I'm one of his absolutely biggest fans.
All right.
In New England. In New England. Anywhere. I was physically sick when Bill Parcells pulled him out of that Monday night game against the Giants. It was a travesty. Tony Romo's first play in the second half was a pick six, but that's okay. Anyway,
love it.
You have to have a good quarterback, and apparently we'd want to spend a lot of money on Cam Newton. So the question is, wasn't Cam Newton a good quarterback when he was available on the market? Or were we really that worried about his wrist fracture? Didn't we understand, did anybody understand, did Bill Belichick understand that this guy was going to be a dramatic upgrade to anything you had, better than any other choice that was out there? So why am I saying this? What in God's name did you wait this guy to get $1 million? Was it $1 million? Really?
Yeah, they had no money. They had no cap space, Steve, in free agency at all.
You talked about team building. Team building dictated that Stidham was your quarterback. Yep. This is how you build your team. You wait for a guy to come to get him out of a garage sale for $1 million. Last year, you waited for Antonio Brown to get kicked off his team. And these are transformational players that came on your team. Look at what Antonio Brown did to the receiving corps. When he left the receiving corps.
So how does that relate to him long term? Does that mean you sign him or not? Do you want him?
No, that means I'm scratching my head that we waited this long to go get him, and now we're ready to lavish him with money after 2 weeks. But what was the reason to wait for $1 million? A bunch of other teams could have had him, and then we wouldn't have him. How do you build a team with a $2 billion NFL team, and you're waiting to spend $1 million to get a transformational guy that was sitting there? Why didn't you get him as soon as he was available?
Fair second guess. Based on his performance over 2 weeks, fair to say – why did they wait? You know, they should have made him a. Yeah. You can't give the team, I guess, total credit. And maybe this is what Andrew Brandt was trying to say the other day, but he said it so horribly, didn't make any sense. But if you're talking specifically to the Patriots, you can't take total, complete credit for knowing how good he would be based on the approach to getting him. But I also think that they read the market really well. I think they knew nobody else wanted him.
Yeah.
I think they knew that they could get him for sure.
Everything
money.
You hear, they kept calling people, doing their homework to the point where probably calling people like, yeah, they're not going to get him. Let him keep sitting there.
Which leads me to believe they didn't think he would be as good as he's been through 2 weeks.
I agree with that.
That might be what they thought. Maybe they didn't have a high opinion of him.
This is why we're pleasantly surprised here.
Maybe they brought him in camp and he looked better than they thought he would look.
He didn't look great in camp.
And by the way, a Lisfranc fracture is no small deal. Like, nope. That can become a chronic...
Yep.
Thing
multiple shoulder surgeries on your throwing shoulder is no small deal either.
Right. Bring him in. Let's see how he's throwing the ball. Let's get him in here.
Shots to the head.
I don't want to see him in a workout. I want to see him practice for 6 straight days.
I remember him.
And see how he's throwing the ball.
I remember him complaining at the end of his run in Carolina there that there are too many shots to his head. He was tired of the way people were hitting his head. Is there head stuff there, you know? That shell shocks you a little bit.
So. Let's talk to Bruce Arena. He'll join us on the show next.
Gentlemen.
When it comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.52 here on Zolak and Bertrand. This is the song you know right away.
Well,
yeah. No doubt about it.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's fun time. Fun time. Fun time.
Enjoy it. We'll talk to Bruce Arena in just a moment. Really in a Cobra Kai mood, aren't you?
Somebody arguing with me on Twitter.
About what?
Saying that it's one of the best shows I've seen in years. So much nostalgia.
It takes you back.
But you're dead wrong. Awesome show. It's like Tony Soprano said, Beatle. Remember when is the lowest form of conversation. That only goes so far.
All right, then. With that, let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach and sporting director of the New England Revolution. It's Bruce Arena with us once again. Coach?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Big 69th birthday. I see you turned there. Did you get anything special for that one?
Not really. You know, I don't count the birthdays anymore.
What do you mean you don't have time? You know, no time at all?
There you go. I treated myself to a beer.
All right.
You got 89 minutes out of Lee Wynn the other night. He was one of the starting 11. He's back at it. Seems like he's up to speed.
That was very encouraging, yes.
The draw the other night on Saturday against New York, you said it was one of the team's more complete games this season. What do you credit that to? Why was that?
Well, I think we've made some changes in the lineup. We have players on the field now that complement each other, and I think over these next 11 games we have, it's going to be very important. And, you know, we have to start winning games, and we have to win our home game. So tonight's game is going to be really important.
How do these Canadian teams look coming in since they, you know, you haven't allowed them to play? You know, now all of a sudden they can play in the United States. But do you see any change in their game?
Not really, but Montreal's last seven games, six of them have been against Toronto and Vancouver. So that's been difficult on them. And then they've now moved down to New York to play the rest of their games. Their home games are going to be played in New York. So they played Philadelphia last weekend. It's been difficult for them. Yeah. I mean, it's been challenging for sure. And I know they're not happy about it. And, you know, hopefully we can take advantage of that.
As far as MLS scheduling goes, they're going to have more games on the schedule soon. But with the way the season's gone, it's been imbalanced and you've had to play some of the same teams. Is that a good thing, bad thing? How do you view it?
The good thing is you don't spend a whole lot of time scouting opponents since you know them already. But we're going to be playing Philadelphia two more times, DC United two more times. You know, it goes on and on. But given the circumstances, I've said this a number of times, we're just happy to be playing. But it's an awkward year. But the most important thing is we get better. We qualify for the playoffs, and we position ourselves to win some games.
You've got Nashville for the first time ever, you know, in direct contrast to these teams you played so many times. And you've got a pretty loaded schedule between now and then. So how much time will you devote to scouting a team like Nashville that you've never played before you play them at the end of October?
Well, we'll certainly spend a fair amount of time on them, like we do with other opponents that we haven't played a whole lot. But, you know, those are going to be big games. There's no question about it. We can't take any opponent lightly from here on in. And again, as I said, our goal is to position our team not only for the playoffs, but a seed that's higher than where we are right now. We want to at least end up in the top six in the East because that'll allow us not to play in what they call the play-in games. So we want to be in the top six at a minimum, hopefully higher towards the number one spot.
As far as winning at home goes, why has that been such a struggle this year?
It's a good question. I don't think I know the answer to that. If I did, I think we'd win a few more games. But I think opponents know how to play us in Gillette. You know, they tend to play in what we call a low block. They get a number of players behind the ball. And it makes it difficult on the artificial field. You know, technically, you're not as clean as you are on a grass field. And that's hurt us a little bit. And then, to be really honest, we could have played better. We've had some chances in games to get goals. You know, every game, you know, we've played five games at home. We've lost one, but we've had four draws. And there's no excuse for that. We just need to hit the back of the net. So hopefully tonight is the start of that happening.
Coach, weird turf question for you here. We've been talking a lot about the MetLife turf with the amount of knees that have been blown out over the last 2 weeks with the pro football teams. Have you played there in MetLife?
Yes, I have.
Do you notice anything different with that turf? Like people call it sticky?
No. I think most of the turf fields are almost identical.
That's what I thought.
I think the fields in Atlanta in the indoor facility and in Dallas are a little bit different because they're not weathered as much. But these artificial fields are almost identical to each other.
Okay, so the outdoor exposed ones, same. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Right. Coach, I heard you last night talking to DJ Bean. You said that Brad Stevens, one of the best coaches in any sport. You seem to have a particular affinity toward basketball coaches when you're paying compliments around. You think they win tonight? You think they take the series?
I think they can. They win tonight. I think they win the series. I also like our football coach in town. Yeah, he's pretty good, too.
Yeah, but you have to share an office with him.
I listened to the interview earlier today with Brad, and I thought it was simply outstanding. And,
oh, thank you.
You know, it's the same issues all coaches have in all sports. How you utilize your resources and the players, and you take advantage of their skill sets. And it's always our challenge every day. Are we putting the guys in the right spots? Are we doing the right things? And it sounds so logical, and to be able to master that is a whole different skill. So I'm in a town where I'm really blessed right now watching a great football coach and a great basketball coach. And it's something every day. I thought Brad's interview was like a coaching clinic today.
So to go back to Brad's interview, have you ever been in his spot where you have a locker room and a bunch of guys that are fighting with one another? And as a coach, what do you do in those situations?
All the time. That means the players care. You know, sometimes it's because they're jerks, but most of the time it's because they care. And they're very competitive guys, and they want to do well, so they got on top of each other. That's common in every sport. You gentlemen know that. You've been around athletics your whole life. You understand that. In the sport of soccer, Alex Ferguson, former Manchester United coach, was famous for throwing boots at players' faces in the locker room after a game or at halftime. So these things happen in sports. Not that they're right, but that means guys are pretty competitive and they want to be successful. So look what happened. They turned things around after having that mild discussion in the locker room, and now they're headed towards hopefully advancing into the NBA Finals.
All right, Coach. Great to talk to you as always.
See you, Coach.
Nice talking to you, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, take it easy. That is Coach Bruce Arena joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, gentlemen.
Big fan of the show. Yeah. As we know.
I don't know that he said that we were fantastic in the Brad Stevens interview.
I think it was implied.
He said it was a good interview.
It was implied.
He said, I heard the Brad Stevens interview, like, just fantastic. Well,
you're welcome.
Brad Stevens. I think it's... I took it to mean more about Brad Stevens.
Well,
than
it was about the entire, all elements of the,
yeah. No, the whole experience.
Yes, the whole thing.
The whole, yeah. The whole.
All thing. Of it. It was a.
He's listening. They're always listening, man, down there. No matter what sport.
Much appreciated. Let's get to Hardy with the headlines. We're right back. No commercials.
Let's do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.